Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, your ironic punishment this time is getting exploded.
Yeah, I didn't mention, but a lot of the punishments are lighting people on fire.
It's okay. Always ironic. That's the thing about fire.
Welcome to the Lore Boys podcast.
Are we doing now, Yu-Gi-Oh?
Now it's my turn. I play Pot of Greed, which allows me to draw two additional boys. My name's James, and who's the two additional boys?
It's me, the American guy, huh? Joey Mascarpone, or whatever. Kaiba, you gotta stop him, Yu-Gi.
I'm Ethan Palmer. Hi, everybody.
And I'm playing Peter O'Donoghue face down on the field,
which is the only rule I know from Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Traps, you activated my trap card. You know that.
I frankly didn't know if that was Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh. They're interchangeable in my brain. the Shadow Realm.
Yeah, that's Yu-Gi-Oh. Okay. To my knowledge, there's never been a Magic the Gathering anime, but there may have been. But it's to my knowledge.
There's some links from Magic the Gathering to Yu-Gi-Oh. Which we'll talk a little bit about today.
Okay.
Sure, there is. The backs of the cards look similar, I'll tell you that.
Yep. Yeah. So we're covering Yu-Gi-Oh! Lore, if you haven't guessed already. There's a lot of people who asked for this. First person who asked was Saucy Chimera. Then we had Sarah.
Oh, okay.
We had Darkside Bunny. Forshees mentioned it, and even Ethan mentioned it. Why not do Yu-Gi-Oh! Lore already? SMH or something like that, he said.
Yeah. I like that we're doing a Saucy request because I know we avoid the anime a lot, and I don't know if it's genuine. You're not being consciously ignored, and I'm sorry. So I'm glad that we're knocking one out. Just
it's the exact same reason, Darnell, that we haven't done Green Lantern, and it's not because you're being actively ignored. It's because like, hey, anime, like Peter's a comic book writer, and for some reason he has this like fierce aversion to comic books, I guess. I don't know.
Never read one. It's not an aversion.
of every form. But yeah, we're not big into superheroes. And I guess like I'm into a lot of anime stories, not anime storytelling per se.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the anime today, but we're also going to be talking a lot about the manga that came before it. So I researched like a few different sources, but the J-Wits on YouTube had the biggest influence on this episode. He recently, like, after there was that new Yu-Gi-Oh game that came out, it was like Duel Links or something like that, which just like sparked a lot more people like coming into the game. And he went and like back and read all of the English adaptations of the anime, of the manga, and then watched all the animes and everything. So he had such a full knowledge of it, that he really helped me kind of know where to look for all this stuff. So the J-Wits on YouTube was big.
I used to watch his Pokemon content back when back when I played Pokemon. Like I haven't played in like 8 or 9 years just because I didn't like Sun and Moon, but like I like J-Wits' channel enough. I know he's in him and another Pokemon YouTuber named Shofu, who is also great, and then a bunch of other guys from the Pokemon community have like a ridiculous rap song that they made just about Pokemon, which we have a music channel on our Discord linked below, which I will post there for your listening pleasure.
Nice. Yeah, and something I wanted to bring up is not really going to come up in the lore, but Ethan did like his impression of Joey, where Joey talks like this. Ouch. I can't. What's a good jersey?
Your New York accent? Like, yeah. Did you pull a muscle in your ribs?
No, he just saw our looks of disappointment at his bad New Jersey accent.
You gotta get the Celtic Guardian, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Pretty New England-y, I guess.
I was watching
Northeast U.S., I guess.
I was watching the anime, the English anime from 2000. I watched like the first 10 episodes yesterday because I was not doing much after Comic-Con, so I was just hanging out around my house watching Yu-Gi-Oh. And he has to like he wants to rescue his sister, like that's part of the thing because she's like going blind, and he wants to win the Duelers tournament so he can win the $3 million to pay for her eye surgery, because if they catch it soon enough she can keep her sight. But they do like a flashback of like when he was like a young kid and hanging out on the beach with her, and all I could think is like, this is probably the Jersey Shore. There's like like Joey and his sister having a heartfelt moment and like people fist bumping in the background. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Snippy in the background, the scuttling around looking for discarded needles or whatever he does, right?
I love the fact that he wants to win the Yu-Gi-Oh! Championship to get money to pay for surgery, opposed to what I assumed would be like some card that granted wishes and you just like wish her vision back.
Yeah, no.
It's just a pragmatic prize at the end of like a magic game that has Egyptian ghosts.
Because it's like, I guess this is the how much do you know about Yu-Gi-Oh question, but it's like, isn't Yugi playing for the soul of his grandfather? And then like his best friend is just like, yeah, hope I win some cash though.
Yeah, so everyone on the
hope I win, not you, so I get some money out of it.
Yeah, like,
everyone on the Duelist Island is playing to gain entry to Pegasus Castle. This is the anime, by the way. It's not really the topic for today, but it's good context. And you get a glove with 2 stars at the beginning, and you wager your stars in every duel, and the first one to get 10 gets to enter Pegasus's castle, and then either get a prize or play against Pegasus for the prize. And Yugi only wants to get in the castle because that's where his grandpa probably is, and the path of least resistance is just to win the tournament to get into it, because there's so many guards. But everybody else is just after the money. And if Yugi wins, he's going to give the money to Joey anyways, just so his sister's fine. So
Gotcha.
They're in it together kind of thing.
And it's if like, Joey wins, Joey's going to let Yugi get into the castle.
Yeah.
Exactly. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah. And like Joey wasn't even invited. Yugi was only invited. And then he like, everyone starts with 2 stars, but he gave 1 of his stars to Joey so he could come along too. Yeah. So it's like they were both at a disadvantage, but the power of friendship would bring them along. And friendship's like the biggest, like Kaiba's all about like, it's about the power of the cards, Yugi.
The heart of the cards.
Exactly. The heart of the cards and friendship and all that stuff.
So. Friendship's like the most powerful thing in most shonen animes, from what I understand. Like the clips I've seen I guess I've never really watched a full, unless Mob Psycho 100 qualifies. I don't really know.
I mean, A lot of these things are written by and enjoyed by people like Saucy, who've never felt the touch of of love. So like, yeah, friendship would be pretty important.
Saucy, you're my friend.
Yeah, you're kind of Saucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're gonna do an anime episode, we gotta roast him a bit, right?
I know.
I roasted him too hard this week, and he was feeling sad, so I'm trying to lay off him a bit.
I love how you like tricked people in the Discord today with a bunch of Sailor Moon gifts, because I even started to believe that's what we were doing today.
No, they started on the Sailor Moon. I just kind of hopped in on it and was having fun with it. So
I'm still down for Sailor Moon lore.
Me too. On a little bit more somber note, like just before we get going, Kazuki Takahashi is the creator of the manga and the show. And you might have heard he passed away last week at the age of 60.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, he was found 300 meters off the shoreline in Japan. He was wearing snorkeling gear. It took like 3 days before they found him. They're not sure what happened yet. Local authorities still looking into it. But probably a snorkeling accident with all the evidence we have. But this week, we're going to cover some of his earliest writing about Yu-Gi-Oh! And talk about some of his influence for the manga and the show. So this one's for you, Mr. Takahashi.
Yeah. Can we also say that this one is for, I mean, it's definitely for Mr. Takahashi. It's also for James, the new patron.
Yep.
So yeah, shout out James.
What up, James? Welcome to the patron. You got to get in Discord and we'll give you all your rooms. Yep.
Yeah, may be in Discord, but maybe his Discord name is not just James.
Fair.
Hard to tell. And if so, and we haven't said hi to you on Discord yet, I guess just say that that's you.
Here it is. Yeah.
there's a lot of you at this point. It's hard to keep track, even the patrons.
Yep. So The Japanese... how do I start? So, starting off, our audience probably remembers the English anime. It was live from the year 2000 to 2004 here in the Americas. Most popular version of the show is the one I watch. I'm pretty sure it's the one Ethan and or Peter might have watched. Did you guys watch the show, have the cards, anything like that?
I had cards. Okay. I had Dark Magician, I think, was my best card.
Nice.
The my brother
deck had that one.
Yeah, my brother got the Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Was Kaiba starter deck, yeah.
So we probably just got the starter decks.
Yeah.
Never really understood the rules. I played once as an adult with my old roommate. And yeah, just didn't like, we were missing some key aspect of the strategy, I guess, because like, this is literally just drawing cards until one of us win, basically. I watched the anime in so far as like, I didn't have a channel that had it, but if I was at my cousin's house, really, then we'd watch, if it was on at the right time, like Saturday morning cartoons, we'd watch it. So I've seen a few episodes, but
cool.
Nothing like, I haven't like watched the arc, I guess. And only, it would have only been season one.
Right. Yeah, I was really into it. Like I was race home from school to catch it. And if I missed the one after school, I would wait till like the 9 PM airing and like, ask my mom if I could like have the TV for that time or whatever. And yeah, it was a good time. I had the cards. I got a sad story from my childhood. I got Exodia, like the headpiece. Like you have to get the head, the two arms, the two legs. I had the face piece that like has the description on how to combine everything. And if you get all five of these cards, you win the duel. Like if you're able to draw all five, in the show, Yugi has these, like, in the first episode, he beats Kaiba with him, but then as not to be too strong for the incoming duel tournament, like, this asshole bug-type Pokemon lover, Weevil, throws Exodia off of a cruise ship when they're going to Duelist Island.
Wait, yeah. what did you say? Your grandfather stuck in the Shadow Realm, so you need to get into Pegasus' castle in order to win? And you have Exodia, can I see?
You're not wrong. He asked if he could see it, and Yugi's like, yeah, sure, just be careful with them. And then he throws them off the side of the boat. Joey actually jumps off the side and rescues like two or three out of five of the cards. So
just the hand and the foot. He's like, I'm sorry. It's all we could find.
Yeah. And then Joey felt like he owed so much because he'd given one of his stars to him and everything. And he's like, I failed you. I didn't get all the cards, but Yugi's like, it's okay. The power of friendship will make us win the everything. So yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see, huh?
I'm only
to no
one's
surprise, I've never seen the full show. I've never seen a full episode of the show. So.
Rip Grandpa.
Yeah.
You're dead now. Rip Grandpa.
Yeah. So they had to kind of cap him because he couldn't just have something that automatically wins a duel because that would just be the end of every episode. So they capped him a bit. And the show itself doesn't follow the rules properly. And it's just a chain of mechanics that are never explained. It's like, oh, I attack, but wait, I'm on a grass type land, so actually I have higher attack power, so I actually win this. And then the guy's like, well, actually I already had a trap that you didn't see me put down, which allows me to do this. And it's just a chain of, well, no, actually I know, but they're kind of just creating new mechanics as they go, and it doesn't match the actual card game. But
you have to, as a writer, you have to create conflict where it is two children playing a card game.
Yeah.
So obviously you need to sex it up a bit.
Yeah.
I never know if it, like, I don't know if this is like just an actual trope in like Japanese manga and anime, or if it is just like all consistently bad translations that this translates better in like the Japanese language somehow. But that was my exact experience with Death Note, where I, you know, somebody told me at some point in my life when Death Note had one season out, they were like, you got to watch this. It's going to be good. And like, I've always tried to get into manga. I watched all of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which was actually fantastic. But I tried to watch Death Note, and that's all it was. It's basically like, so the premise of Death Note is this guy's got a journal that if he writes anybody's name in it, that person dies. So he could just like kill anybody on Earth kind of thing. And then there's this like, you know, FBI, CIA investigator trying to hunt him down. But they're just constantly like, oh, well, I sprung this trap for you. And then it's like, oh, well, I knew you were going to spring that trap, so I instead did this. Well, I knew that you were going to know that I sprung that trap. And like, the first five episodes were just that back and forth. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? and put it down, which maybe I'm triggering a lot of the anime fans who are coming to the show for the first time, I guess, because we're doing Yu-Gi-Oh! But
yeah, I gotta say, in Yu-Gi-Oh! They, even though it is nonsensical in terms of the card game, they do some cool like role-playing stuff. Yeah, Takahashi is like a huge D&D fan. So he kind of just like lets it go. Like, as long as it sort of makes sense, I guess it could happen in the show. Like, for example, there is an ocean type fighting like a wolf type, and they put a full moon up, and the wolf got buffed by the full moon, but also it rose the tide.
The tides.
Yeah.
Oh.
So then he summons a stone golem. And then they're like, oh, you're stupid. Like, the stone golem's going to die to the water type so easily. But then the stone type didn't attack the ocean fish thingy. It attacked the moon itself, which caused the tide to go back out all the way so far that the ocean creature was, like, flopping around on the ground. And, yeah. It's weird things that you can't really do in the card game. But in terms of the show, it's, like, it's fun. And it why not? You know?
Yeah. Some kid somewhere has tried to do that in the real life card game and been like, no, it was on the show. Okay, so
tried and it didn't work.
Some real kid made an entire fish deck and was checking his lunar calendar for when a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament coincided and showed up fucking ready to steamroll these guys. You know?
Yeah. I played in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament as a young kid, like, over, what's those bars that are, like, meant for old men, the Legion or something?
Legion?
Oh, yeah. Canadian
yeah. Legion Hall? Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Legion, and they had a hall above the Legion, and all of the folks went there with their backpacks and their cards. And I had, like, my deck that I played against my little brother and would win, but then I just got absolutely killed by these people who know how to play this game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't last long, but it was fun. So yeah, so the
just
English,
like sex.
Yeah, I was right there, and I was like, let's just move on.
I was sipping a beer. I could get it out in time. Yeah, Peter's asleep at the switch. God damn it!
I couldn't get it out in time. Just like sex.
Yeah.
So yeah, here in the Americas, we know the English anime, but the English anime was a toned down version of the Japanese anime that came before, called Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters, not just Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
As are many,
it's a four kids translation. Although they're pretty notorious for taking out all the lesbians and cool shit from anime before they put it on YTV, right?
I was just about to say they took away the cleavage from the harpy ladies, and I may need to start a Reddit thread about it. But no, but like literally everyone who has cleavage, they just like took a little eraser and just brought the cleavage from like being halfway up
the triangular piece of material that you can like just tuck behind the collar. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. But the Japanese anime is also a more censored version of the first Japanese anime that came before it. So the Japanese anime and our anime are like pretty much the same storylines, except we get a censored version. But then there was like an even crazier one just before where we start, and it's like called Season Zero by the fans.
I'd like to see that, because if we saw the corners rounded off the rounded Japanese corners, then the first one must be fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, I watched a clip from it today, and it really lines up with the manga that we're gonna talk about.
Okay.
But there's like guns. There's like lighting people on fire.
There's guns. Like, I play Blue Eyes White Dragon. Yeah, well, I pull out my fucking Glock. Okay. Put your fucking card back in your deck. Okay. I'm not dealing with that shit. It's stupid. It's the strongest card in the game. Okay. Put it back in your deck. It's not fair.
Hey man. Yeah. Hey man. Sorry. Untapped. Yeah. Bottom of the deck, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot more pervy too. Like people just like saying straight up weird stuff. What I watched from Season Zero was like a game. Like the old Yugi kind of just got into different games. It wasn't always card games, and it's like the game that he challenged someone to, which where you wagered your life on, was like you pick a finger, and then you only get to use that one finger to kill the other person. And I was like, okay, like, how's this going to work? So the one guy has a gun, so he's like, I pick my trigger finger, and I'm going to kill you when the game starts. And Yugi's like, okay, I pick my thumb. And then we're like, all right, well, what's going on here? And by the way, this guy has, like, his girl all tied up. Like, I forget her name.
Yugi's girl.
Yeah, Yugi's girl. What's her name in the show? It's like May or something like that. I have it.
Yeah, May. I had it up a second ago.
Yeah. So May's all tied up. He picks the thumb. So then he also gives the guy like some Russian vodka at the beginning. So the guy has a gun and he's also pouring himself like the biggest shot ever of Russian vodka. So Yugi picks his thumb, chooses the lighter, and the guy has a cigarette in his mouth. And he's like, the guy's like, okay, light my cigarette and then I'm going to kill you. This is all in Japanese too, so I'm just seeing the dub. But so the guy, like, Yugi goes up, lights his cigarette, but then places the lighter on the hand that's pouring the vodka. So now he has the gun, but the vodka's like overflowing everywhere and he can't. And so he's like, yeah, that's 90 proof. If your hand slips, you're going to light your whole body on fire. So he can't shoot the gun because the shockwave will knock the lighter off or something. And sure. Yeah, so in the end, like Yugi just gets up and walks away and the guy's stuck there with the gun in one hand and then the vodka and the lighter on the other. And then he puts the gun down to move the lighter. And then Yugi's like, you cheated. And then it gets like the Millennium Eye glowing on his forehead. And he basically breaks the guy's brain to feel like he's on fire for all of eternity. And the guy's just writhing on the ground.
Cool. Yugi seems like a chill guy, honestly.
Yeah. That's crazy. At no point did you mention cards at all. So I don't know what the mangas could possibly be about. Or the OG series.
I will say, I did look up Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 0 while you were talking. And you mentioned the Millennium Eye, which is, I guess we're like jumping ahead a bit. But he does have he's possessed by like an ancient pharaoh or something.
We'll get that.
When he plays cards. But he like looks different when he suddenly has mascara or like it's, thicker mascara.
That's
right?
More for us. That's more for us as like the like,
yeah
the viewer. We know that he's changed, but the people around him just see him as Yugi.
Yeah. But I will say I looked up season 0, and like in some of these shots, he looks straight up like a crack addict. Like he's just he's like so haggard. He's got like huge lines all around his eyes and everything. Like
yeah. We're going to get to, like, why he's a different version of, like his Yami or whatever, his Dark Yugi is different in before. Season 0 follows the interesting manga that we're going to talk about and not the anime that we all know and love. So, yeah.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, Season 0 was pretty crazy. So, we had Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I'll go backwards from what we know. We had Yu-Gi-Oh! In the year 2000, which is the English anime that's popular here. Also had the Japanese anime Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters. Same storyline, but a little more sexed up, also in 2000. We go back to Yu-Gi-Oh! In 1998, which is Season 0, which guns Evil Yugi based off the manga from 1996, which we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Yeah, and the manga started off in the horror genre and had a lot of differences from the show that we know and love.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And this is like one of those like kind of like, you know, in the 80s where you'd have like a RoboCop or like an Alien action figure. Like I had friends that had like Alien toys or like a RoboCop toy where it's just like no 6-year-old should be watching those films.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like how do we turn this like 80s this like brutal 80s action movie into a marketable toy? It's just like oh yeah, so that I guess this is kind of like the Yu-Gi-Oh, the Japanese version of it is what's going on here, or well, it feels comparable at least.
Yeah, you know that manga with like the kid who can like use psychic powers to make somebody feel like they're burning for all eternity for the rest of their life. Let's make it a kids show.
Yeah.
That'll be good and marketable.
A rainbow fish.
best part, boys. The first 7 chapters of the manga, which are the crazy burn people alive versions, were marketed to children.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Even better.
Yeah. This was a children's thing always. It just got dumbed down over time. From 1996 to 2000, they scaled down.
Yeah. All these liberal helicopter parents taking away the psychic kid who gives people nerve damage.
So
I play in the attack position, fibromyalgia.
So what does Yu-Gi-Oh! Mean? It translates directly to King of Games.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
And friendship is one of the major.
So is Yugi's name King of, or is it King Game? Game King? Game
oh, yeah.
Game
is the syntax different?
I'm trusting the internet to have told me the right thing. I won't be able to tell you, but I'm sure Ethan will look it up.
Lore Voice Canon, it's King Game, actually.
Yeah.
It means game king. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But friendship is one of the major themes of Yu-Gi-Oh. So like the two major characters in the Japanese are Yugi and Janucci, I think is the way, which is just Joey. And Yugi and Joe. So Joe means friendship.
Oh.
Yeah. Which cute. Is nice. So there's like kind of a double thing on there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yugi, you might remember, really tiny kid. He gets bullied a lot in the show. Joey starts out as his bully, but eventually becomes his friend. In the actual manga, he gets bullied like a lot more, like people beat the shit out of him.
Oh my god.
Cool, yeah. And then he develops like the psychic eye powers to give them nerve damage, so.
Yeah. He lives with his grandpa, Solomon Muto. Interesting character. I could probably do an episode on him as well, because he comes back like in all seasons of the show, and he like was originally like an architect, or not an architect, what's that one that goes into ancient areas?
An archaeologist.
An architectologist.
Yeah. He just digs up old scaffolding. That's the only thing he does.
I don't know when they show it, but they do show it in the show where he goes into like ancient Egyptian tombs. And he gets some of these
Egyptologists specifically. Those are those people.
There's a specific one. I will say probably the arc and architect and archaeologist are probably from the same root, right? Gotta be.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah. Digging up old buildings.
Oh wait, no. Because archaeologist is like artifacts. I think one's gotta be Latin, one's gotta be Greek, because I think archaeologist is like ancient something, whereas architect probably means structure, would be my guess. Mm.
Yeah, archaeologist from the Greek does mean ancient.
Oh, there we go.
And,
okay.
And architect comes from the Latin word architectus, which comes from the Greek architekton, not archaeo. So yeah, you're right.
I mean, not 100%, but I'll take half points for that one. Pretty good.
To be first, who commands, archi, tecton, mason, builder. So first mason, first builder.
So yeah, he's like really knowledgeable, wise old man. He's been through the ringer. He like went into the Egyptian tomes and like he's able to get out with an artifact, at least one, because he gives Yugi the artifact that he has. But like I know there's a scene where he goes in with two other people and like one of them doesn't understand the room that they're in. Apparently in like ancient Egypt, to enter a room with your left foot first or to approach someone with your left foot first was like a sign of respect. Whether or not that's true in real life, it was true in the game, or in the lore, I guess, of Yu-Gi-Oh. So he was able to cross the room because he started with his left foot first, but his friend started with the right foot first and got killed in the tomb, kind of thing.
Right foot activated like poison darts that like across the room, basically.
Yeah, there is magic in this world, so how they knew that, probably magic based. Yeah. Okay. Yugi's parents are non-existent in the English anime, but his mom is around in the Japanese and Singapore versions of the show. His father is not around in either, but the internet has varying opinions. One person said he's a businessman, he's away from home. Another said that there's like someone you meet in the seventh season who's actually his father in disguise, but I didn't have enough time to look into all that bullshit.
There's a guy with just like an armful of milk and smokes that Yugi beats eventually, and it's like, I'm the janitor here.
Yeah, like for all purposes, he's just an absent father, because he doesn't really influence the story at all. So, and the mom is there and like just like yells at Yugi for playing cards too much and stuff in the Japanese version.
You're never gonna get anywhere playing those cards, Yugi. Come on, there's never gonna be some eccentric billionaire that hosts a tournament with $1 million prize for that. Come on, go become a doctor.
So Yugi, he's like really good at games and puzzles. He's a small kid, but he's really powerful when it comes to like these games, right?
So, yeah. And this is because you say powerful, so he must have friends, right?
Yeah, that too. Takahashi really liked the idea of like someone who's weak but can become a hero through games, and then also kind of how kids who watch this can feel really powerful through through buying his cards, I guess, too, but yeah.
So did Takahashi make the card game as well?
He's behind, like, he makes a lot of games. He makes a lot of games. I don't know if he made the card game, but when you would buy the old mangas, you would flip to the back, and there would be a homemade board game. And it would give you all the instructions to make your own thing, the rules for the board game. He creates games all the time. So I'm not sure if he made the card game, like the one that we play, but he made the card game within the series that we watch and read. Yeah.
Gotcha. I think the card game is made by Bandai, who are like the Dark Souls publisher as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some suit that had to step in the middle there, but he's definitely the heart and soul behind it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering if he was like the Richard Garfield who like actually made like the game mechanics for Bandai or whatever, but
right.
I'm not seeing anything online. Just curious if anything.
Yeah. Grandpa gives Yugi one of the hardest puzzles he has, since Yugi's such like a protege, like he's really good at puzzles.
Yeah, here's this, you solved another jigsaw puzzle, huh? Here's this, cursed artifact from an ancient Egyptian tomb. Try and figure that one out.
Keep it busy. That's exactly what I wrote, too. I was like, he gave him one of the hardest puzzles he had, the Millennium Puzzle, a priceless artifact from ancient Egypt that he gifted to a young boy.
I had forgotten all about this. So you mentioned like he got out with at least one artifact, but it's like the pyramid that he has on his chest, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Yugi has it on.
And it's not a pyramid yet, though. Right now, it's just a bunch of pieces.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of pieces. And it's one of those physical puzzles that you have to slot together. And...
The physical puzzles can be tricky, for sure. But if you're like a goddamn Egyptologist and you don't try the pyramid shape... Like, come on. Yeah.
There might have been...
It'd never be that easy. He's like, all pieces are like completely misaligned. It's like all the fucked up Sphinx, like arts, whatever. It's just like, I don't think that's it.
Yeah, it's only two pieces. It's like a pyramid with the top lopped off, and they just can't figure out how to put it on. You know?
Like, point to the flat part. He's just like, I can't get it to stand.
No, it's a bunch of little pieces, and there's probably like a little like Salt Bay sprinkle of magic to be able to put it together because there's magic in this world.
The ghost of the pharaoh needs a ready host to put the pyramid together so that they can possess.
Yeah, there's like a girl. Maybe they explain why this is, but there's this girl like she's introduced as like the hot duelist that Joey and Yugi are drooling over, and she actually does have cleavage in the anime. I saw it last night.
Okay, cool.
English one. I forget her name now, but she's a duelist, and she can actually she has psychic powers. She knows the next card she's going to draw at every moment.
That seems like an advantage.
It's a big advantage. But at the same time, Yugi and his friends have this thing called Heart of the Cards, which basically means imagining the card that you need and then pulling it.
Which is also kind of like cheating, because like, what's the difference between manifesting your next move and knowing your next move? They have the same result.
Well, I think manifesting's better, because knowing what... You could just know that you have a bad hand coming. Manifesting, you always get a good hand, right?
True.
Yeah.
I give you that.
Yeah,
my mother-in-law believes in that fervently, not with decks of cards, but like she's a fan of
The Secret.
She thrifts, and it's all about manifesting. If she sees something that she wants for full price, she just like stews on it long enough until it shows up at a thrift store, and then she buys it for $2 or whatever. It's like her
thrift. I think that to a certain degree that like manifesting is just being ready for opportunities kind of thing too.
Yeah.
Like it's not a bad thing to believe.
No, yeah, exactly. And I mean, like it's going to be confirmation bias, but it's like confirmation bias mixed with placebo, where like you say, because you're ready for that thing to come up and you're like spending more time looking for it, you're going to end up finding it. So you're going to confirm that for yourself,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. So after a lot of effort, Yugi finally puts the thing together. In the English anime, there's like a cut scene where they go back and they're like, Joey, you weren't nice to me at first. You threw a piece of the puzzle out the window into a river. And then like Yugi had to go swim in a river to go get the piece back. But anyways, he puts it all together. And he's
foreshadowing to when Joey jumps off the boat to try and get the pieces of Exodia.
You're right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's setup and payoff. That's his character development. That's his whole arc. Obviously.
Yeah. So Yugi finally puts this whole thing together. It hasn't been together in like millennia. and was rewarded by an ancient pharaoh's spirit taking over his body.
Is that a reward?
That's how I wrote it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's like, wow, I've now been possessed by the spirit of a man who died when he was 13 of syphilis who married his sister.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ancient pharaoh, they might like flesh out his lore later, but in the show that I've watched and the stuff that I researched for the manga today, the ancient pharaoh's nameless. We call him Yami or Dark Yugi. He probably has his own story. He tends to show up... basically,
it's not Waluigi or whatever, like Waluigi. Waluigi.
Waluigi. I like that.
Backwards Y on his hat.
Yeah.
It's a capital. It's the same fucking thing.
Yep. We're just about to get into the manga here. So okay. I think it's probably a good time just to take a little break.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back for the break. So we're just hopping into the manga. Chapters 1 through 7 of the manga are considered like OG Yu-Gi-Oh! And this is all pre-card game.
I don't know, Jamie. This puzzle that you gave me during the break doesn't make any sense, okay? There's like 5 just like point pieces, you know? And then there's like some pieces with a straight edge and then the rest of them, I don't know, I guess they're supposed to go in the middle. This doesn't make any sense.
Just like a cube and 5 triangles with it.
Yeah. So chapters 1 through 7, this is the formula for every adventure. Yugi and his friends do X thing. It could be we're going to the beach, we're going to the carnival, we're going to the whatever.
Sure.
Someone evil cheats or does something wrong at this thing. So maybe they're at the carnival and they're throwing darts at balloons and some guy's just popping it, with his gun or something, right?
Yeah, sure. Somebody,
hey, that guy's cheating. He's going to get the giant teddy full of styrofoam nubs instead of me.
Yeah.
Somebody opened the fire extinguisher at the punk rock show thinking it'd be a lot of fun, not realizing that it sucks the oxygen out of the air and nobody can.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
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 A specific example of something that's happened to me before.
I was going to say, it feels like a memory and not so much an example.
It was Comeback Kid, and they were on in their first song, and the lead singer was just like, that's it, show's canceled. It was like, cool. Cool. It's their, like, reunion tour. They haven't toured in years. We're all here to see them, and one guy having a good time. Real punk rock.
So, yeah, if Yugi was there, he would turn into Dark Yugi at that moment when the fire extinguisher went off. And Dark Yugi is like a gambler. Like, you saw he kind of has the crazy eyes in the old ones. He's not like he is a pharaoh, but he's also like, he's got like a gambler's spirit.
But he's got an addiction. It happens to everybody, even royalty.
But that's it.
He doesn't lose much, though. He doesn't lose much.
He was featured on My Strange Addiction. It turned out he was just anemic.
He's a gambler and a game master in the manga. So he'll challenge the evil person to a shadow game of his own design, and then he'll bet him and like basically children's lives against the evil person's life.
And, okay, yeah, sure.
And there'll be a game.
You kill however many kids you want, okay?
High stakes are the only stakes for me, baby.
So yeah. Like,
the wrinkle is I'm making the game and thus all the rules, I guess. So
yeah. Yeah. So like maybe what he would do in your situation, and he's like, we have to get in the mosh pit, and the first person to knock the other person out of the circle of the mosh pit wins. And then he would probably sentence that guy to have, like, a little bit of fire extinguisher under his nose and mouth for the rest of his life, so all the oxygen was sucked out of every breath. Just,
An eternity of feeling like you're choking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So that's the general structure of, like, an episode or a chapter, is, like, go to place, do thing, evil person happens, Dark Yugi steps in, creates a game of his own design, beats the guy, and gives him some type of poetic justice.
I'm gonna try and pull up the clip. Did this release in Shonen Jump, like, the main, I don't know if it's the main, it's the one that I know about, but, like, the big Japanese?
It did. I'll go over a lot of examples, enough that we don't have to look it all up, I think, because I don't want to get too far off, because we're already, we're still early in the script. But the games aren't limited to card games in the manga. They're almost always something different at first. There's, like, I think there are a couple card games at the beginning, but they're not, like, I think there's, like, a one battle with Kaiba that ended up getting
Recard Monty, like, with the folding table.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put one bullet in this revolver and press it against a child's head. And
Your punishment for losing this game is for the rest of your life. You're gonna go fish, but not catch anything.
So Takahashi is a huge fan of tabletop role-playing games. I mentioned it before. You can see it in his writing. Some of the shadow games Dark Yugi creates for his opponents tend to resemble turn-based Dungeons & Dragons style combat. So, like, I took a picture and I popped it in the chat. So the first one is one of the covers, and it shows Dark Yugi playing his friends as pieces on a chessboard, but with rules where they combat.
And,
so.
And himself. To be fair,
yep,
he's there too, yeah, as a piece.
Yep.
And so they're all little chibi minis, basically. They all look like the four separate classes. You've got a monk, wizard, fighter, and I don't know what Yugi is supposed to be. Maybe a sorcerer. Those are different, right?
Cleric?
Could be. I looked up some of the shadow games from the manga, and some of them, like, really tickled me. So I'm gonna share them with you guys. You guys ever played Coin and Sneaker?
Nope, can't say I have.
With my uncle a couple times, yeah.
I'll tell you what it is. It's when you put 10 coins in a shoe with a scorpion and see who can get more coins out without being stung.
Okay, yeah, sure, that's
do you put the scorpion in the shoe too, like, you stuff everything in there?
Yeah.
Could you just imagine, you're like an eco-terrorist, right? And you're like, oh man, climate change is getting out of hand. I have to do something radical. I have to make a demonstration. You jump the shark, you go full evil, you take an amusement park hostage or whatever, right? And this guy comes up to you and is like, that's it. This is over, buddy, okay? This is between you and me now, a game of my design, okay? You can kill these children and me. Or you turn yourself in if you could beat me at it. And you're like,
yep.
Okay, sure. I feel like the jig is up. Cops are probably on their way. I've made my message. What's your game, kid? And he's like, I'm going to put a scorpion in a boot.
And some change.
With 10 coins, okay? Now look, you can inspect the coins beforehand, okay? It's commemorative coins, silver dollars. And we're going to have to see who can get more of them out of the shoe than the other.
Also, check the scorpion. It's not a trick scorpion. It's a real scorpion.
Just handing it to people in the audience, like, could you please inspect the scorpion?
Yeah. No, you and I, we've never met, sir. You can confirm the veracity of this scorpion, this angry bug.
Yeah, that's an angry bug, sir.
It's very angry.
Have you guys played Paper Crash?
Are there scorpions?
No scorpions.
I would love it if every one of these games had a scorpion.
It's not like some carnival game where you just might be stung by a scorpion.
This one features a vial of chloroform, which is placed on. You basically take some papers, put them, like, card shuffle them, like, in a circle on a table. So you just have, like, a pile of papers and
spread
some
out thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Dealer's wash, I believe it's called.
Right. And some of them are overlapping and some of them are on the top and whatnot. And the goal is you sit around a table and you have to take out a piece of paper, with the risk of pulling the vial of chloroform off the table on your side, breaking the chloroform and knocking yourself out.
Oh, it's the magician. Again, it's the magician thing, but it's like the tablecloth where you don't want to knock over the, the gas.
It's like paper thin Jenga with a bottle of chloroform at the top of the tower.
Okay, yeah.
It's called Paper Crash. Of course. We've all played it. Yeah.
Can you imagine playing Jenga with a stack of printer paper where you like take out one sheet and just put it back on?
Everybody's like, loser, of course, gets stung by a scorpion.
Yeah, naturally.
You guys played griddle ice hockey?
Griddle?
Griddle.
Like, I think a griddle is like a fried cake, isn't it?
I think a griddle is like a grill, like a rudimentary grill, right?
Yeah. It's the flat kind that you see, like, you know, the burger flipping kind? The flat.
Oh,
flat,
the
flat.
George Foreman
yeah.
grill.
Yeah. Well, though, no, I think yeah. that's got ridges. This one's
it's
like,
no ridges. Just like, it's a flat pan that gets hot, basically. Okay. You make like French toast on.
What, oh, okay. What you would see in like the back of a McDonald's or something.
Yeah, diners. Like the flat piece of metal that gets hot in a diner, that's a griddle.
You crack an egg on it and yeah.
Okay.
So that's, so griddle ice hockey, of course, it's when you have a test tube full of explosive chemicals inside of a block of ice as a puck.
And it's melting.
On the griddle, that's hot.
It's hot potato.
It's basically that. Whenever the ice melts enough, there will be an explosion that causes seriously serious
injuries. Like papercraft football? Do you have to like put up your fingers too to get the ice to go through?
Yeah, Yugi, like he was like, almost losing like by points or something, or like I don't know how he was losing, but then he realized the whole game is just make sure it's not on your side when it melts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Quidditch, where it's like yeah, there's this like huge elaborate game, but then it turns out just whoever gets the golden switch, the golden snitch wins. Like,
yeah.
Whoever gets the golden snitch exploded in their face loses. Like, yeah.
But it's also just like regular hockey. Like if you're just a point ahead and you're in like, you know, if you're just at the end of the game, you just kill time on your side of the ice, right? You just run it out. But then you just shoot the puck over where they have no goalie and it's got explosives in it, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so in that one, like, he does make it explode in the guy's face, and the guy probably lives, like, disfigured for the rest of his life, but that's cool.
Yeah, your ironic punishment this time is getting exploded.
Yeah, I didn't mention, but a lot of the punishments are lighting people on fire.
It's always ironic. That's the thing about fire.
Yeah. Because I was thinking it would be like to teach you a lesson thing. I guess he's not Jigsaw from Saw or like a genie. The punishments aren't ironic. It's just making lighting guys on fire.
Yeah. Just making them suffer, really.
Yeah.
Eventually, they do play a card game, the Yu-Gi-Oh game we all know today. But it was originally called Wizards and Magic, which might be an obvious allusion to Magic
Dungeons
the Gathering.
Or Magic the Gathering, yeah.
Made by Wizards of the Coast, right?
Yeah.
So it was based off a lot of the same rules, but you don't have some more of the intricacies of Magic the Gathering. It's you have life points, you have attack points, defense points, magic cards.
Scorpion points. You don't want that meter to go down.
Yeah. Typically, pretty fast games, too, because anytime you beat a monster, the excess that you've beaten the monster by, it takes away from the life points. So if you have Blue Eyes White Dragon, there's also, you don't have a mana requirement. You can play any card at any moment.
Yeah.
So you can turn one Blue Eyes White Dragon, which does 3,000 damage. And as long as they don't place, if they play something with 1,000 defense, you just win in the first turn. So, but there's ways around that and stuff. And they've obviously balanced it and has more tools to deal with that type of stuff than
yeah, it must be more balanced nowadays.
So like I said, when the evildoer loses, Dark Yugi just does some type of fucked up shit to them. There's one where they had like some card game where like they had to put a knife through their hand and whatever money they hit like through your fingers, you know that knife game you do?
Five finger fillet, as it's called in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep. And like whenever money you hit, you get to pull that aside and that's your money. And then whoever has the most money at the end wins. But some guy cheated and like took all of Yugi's money. So he turned the guy completely insane. And the next day you see Yugi like waking up, walking down the street. He's like yawning. And the guy's rolling in a pile of leaves, like all dirty, thinking it's a pile of money. And people are like gawking at him.
Yeah. I also love the idea, like, this wouldn't be so sadistic of Dark Yugi or whatever we said his name was, Goro, if Like, he didn't to, like, force him to do these games first. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Clearly you have the power to just, like, stop bad people. But insane, instead you want to, like, turn them insane and, like, torment them first. And then afterwards also, right?
It's like the devil always plays games with people. Like a fiddle competition is completely pointless. Yeah. Like, you've got all the magic of being the devil.
Yeah.
This is
I guess it's like... Is the devil an anti-hero? It feels like this is an anti-hero, right?
Yeah. Another little lore tidbit. This is more for the anime than the manga, like the horror manga that we're talking about now. This is not true. But by the time we get to the anime, this is true. Where the cards come from is ancient pharaohs and ancient like royalty used to actually go to the Shadow Realm and with their powers of magic would summon creatures to fight against each other. And then that became embodied into cards later. And these same creatures that are on the cards were around in ancient Egypt and just through millennia kind of like stayed within the zeitgeist, I guess. And when Yugi kind of like puts his Yami hat on and he goes crazy and he's really good at the game, it's because his like ancient self was actually summoning these monsters from scratch, not just playing cards. So he has like an extra good relationship with all these things and knowledge of everything around him too. So
okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
When you say ancient self, you mean the Yami, the guy possessing him, right? Is like is the ancient self.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yami. And it's funny when he turns into it, he goes, Yu-Gi-Oh! And then it's like his chest jiggles around like where the pyramid is, and then he turns into the guy. I don't know why he has to say his own name and then because it's not even the name of the
I gotta assume that Yami finds it orgasmic to take over his body, and so he's saying Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
You know?
Right. That's probably it's
and big, Fork it's changed it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yu-Gi in parentheses the big O.
yeah. So you guys remember Kaiba? You know him?
Yes.
Yeah. He's got the white coat.
He's the rival, I guess, in the first season.
He's like the Vegeta. He's like the bad guy, but he's kind of on your side. He's like the bad dude, but like also has good
he's
values.
He's the frenemy.
Yeah.
Right.
I think rival fits.
Rival,
honestly.
He's like super rich. He has his own corporation. He's kind of like a hacker man. But he's also like has the Blue Eyes White Dragon. There's only four that exist in the world. He has three in his deck, and that's the max you can have of one monster in a deck in the show. I think it's two in real world, but I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Doesn't matter anyways. But he has the three, and there's four in the world, one of the which belongs to Yugi's grandpa. And he goes to Yugi's grandpa, gets the fourth one, gets his henchmen to steal it because he won't sell it, and then takes the fourth one and just rips it in front of his grandpa's face. And his grandpa is like a card that was from his best friend. And it wouldn't have mattered if it was a common or a Blue Eyes White Dragon. It was just like
his best friend dying in a foxhole, pulled out a picture of his wife and Blue Eyes White Dragon to give to Yugi's
grandpa. Yeah. Kaiba destroys it just so he'll never have to face anything as strong as his own deck. So that's like his MO. He's all about power. And
if not for fucking Weevil or whatever on the boat, like, because there was a stronger card, there was a stronger five cards, I guess, right?
Yeah, which beats him in the first episode, Kaiba kind of goes into like depression mode. He's like, oh, I was undefeated, literally undefeated until Yugi came along. And
he went into depression mode. He didn't just have his henchmen steal the five pieces of Exodia and rip them up in Yugi's face. Like,
nope, depression mode. Like,
I give up on bossing people around. It's too hard.
It was a big hit for him, I think, because everyone knew him as the guy to beat, but all of a sudden, right before the duelist tournament, Yugi's the guy to beat. It was an ego thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, and rich guys and their egos. Like, we know all about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't just threaten to buy, like, whatever social media equivalent platforms there are. And then, like immediately censor any posts calling out Yugi as the guy who beat him. Like
he didn't commission a plastic submarine and call someone a pedophile to go get the rest of Exodia out of the ocean.
Yeah.
I loved like the Vegeta type characters in growing up. Like I had a Vegeta figurine, Kaiba, my Neopets account was Kaiba 116102.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Are you going to log back in before that episode?
I've tried so hard to get my original account back, but I have another account, I think.
Jamie and Lost Accounts. Name a more iconic duo, honestly.
Yeah.
I tried so hard, dude. I lied about my birthday because I was too young to play Neopets at the time, I'm pretty sure. So.
Yeah,
damn. You got to cut that part out of the show, dude.
FBI, open up.
Yeah, Neopets I might do one day. Someone requested it this week, and I did love. I had the card game for Yu-Gi-Oh, for Neopets. I played Neopets online. I was in like this guild where you would reply to each other in forums, and some mom who stayed at home all day would lead it and everything.
Moderate it. Yeah. Moderate it.
Yeah.
I know a buddy of mine's mom used to play Tibia, which was like an online MMO, like a Flash MMO or something. She would play Tibia for like 17 hours a day, basically. Damn. And was always on the cordless phone. So, like, not the Kyle that everybody knows, was a different guy named Kyle. You could never call Kyle. You had to bike to his house and ring on the doorbell if you wanted to play, because his mom was always on the phone because Discord didn't exist with the other suburban moms.
Yeah, I played a lot of it. I was like, I would wake up at my dad's house. I wasn't allowed to play much on the computer during the day. I remember during the summer having like the worst ear infection of my life, waking up at 4 a.m. so I could play Neopets before everyone woke up with just my head pounding with this ear infection. Like, I just could have been sleeping, you know, but no, I wanted to play my Neopets. But
now I understand why you like put so much time into WoW. This has been like a lifelong problem of yours.
Oh, I get, yeah. When I get into something, I get really into it usually. But
I think I was like, I was saved by dial-up for like a lot of that. Because like I remember playing Neopets, but like so many of the games wouldn't load on my internet connection. Of the mini games or whatever. So I just like, I always like, I liked it. I loved the idea of it, and I'd make my Neopet, but then I'd try and, because you had to like play games to get the stuff to like take care of your Neopet. Your Neo points, exactly. But I could never like play, like I would always just disconnect halfway through a game or something like that. So like it just became too frustrating to try and progress in Neopets.
It gave me good financial habits. I loved earning my Neo points for the day, putting them in the bank, and getting my 1% interest the next day or whatever.
Hell yeah, dude.
I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting Neo rich. Neo rich, yeah. And if you had more money, you got more interest too. So they taught me all the real life lessons. Yeah.
The percentage stays the same, but just like the amount that it goes up.
No, if
continues
you have
to increase with the rest of it.
No. You get better percentages the more capital you have.
Oh, they increase your interest rate too. That's
which is
cool.
True in real life. If you have enough money,
real life,
you can have better returns. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I'm working on it.
The way it should work, right? I believe our economic system should be based on the same one as Neopets.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's free to start their own market and have their own shop. You can battle people. Anyways, this is not an
If you don't like it, go make your own economy, liberal.
Yeah, I was going to say the neoliberal economy is based on the Neopets economy.
There is the card game in the manga. Yugi beats Blue Eyes White Dragon, and he turns Kaiba into a card in their duel, and all of Yugi's monsters defeat Kaiba as the card. So Kaiba feels, and they describe it in the manga, he feels the sensation of death, of being torn apart by these monsters, which is pretty intense compared to, like, in the show, when he beat Yugi, like Dark Yugi or Yami beats Kaiba in the first episode, he does a mind break to him, which is probably explains the depressive episode I just remembered.
Okay,
he does this thing, and then like there's just like the screen shatters or whatever, and they don't explain at all what happens, but Kaiba's depressed for the next couple episodes, and he only comes back in like episode 9.
Your cruel and ironic punishment is I'm going to take all your serotonin for the next couple days.
It's like on an MDMA hangover. It's like, oh no.
And Kaiba, I just watched this like before the episode. In episode 9, you have to like face off against Dart, like a ghost form of Kaiba that Pegasus summons, Pegasus being like the big bad. And then Kaiba's like trying to hack into the mainframe to help Yugi to beat his like ghost self. And hacking in the Yugiverse is very funny. It's getting to a door and then summoning a bomb on screen, which blows up the door. And then you get to a bigger door, and you have to summon a bigger bomb on screen to blow up the door. And that's how you hack. Anyways, that is just a side. That's not really what we're talking about right now. Just that's all
$1 million is Kaiba Corp.
Yep.
Summoning bombs to blow up doors.
Yep. It's a Minesweeper, except you're controlled. Yeah. So Yu-Gi-Oh, like I said, much darker than the original manga. He kills people with fire, drives people insane, all with a smile on his face.
He seems like a psychopath, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of pervy stuff in the manga, too. Yugi daydreams about his friend Tia. That's her name, sorry, not me. May, it was Tia. T-E-A. Playing basketball in a short skirt, and there's like a panel of her upskirt. Ethan Googles upskirt Taya.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I'm re-Googling what I had Googled before, which is the Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. And it's like, you unlock legendary duelists such as Yami, Yugi, Kaiba, Joey, and Mei. So Mei is one of them.
Oh, Mei is the...
she's the psychic one?
She is the psychic one.
She does have cleavage. I gotta give it to you. One.
So Tia. Grandpa comments on how Tia has grown up and mentions her bust size.
That's very Japanese of him. Yeah.
Joey complains about censorship in his porn.
Very Japanese of him.
Yeah, because isn't Japanese porn still like censored, blurred out?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
in the manga, he has like a cassette tape in his hand, and he's complaining. He's like, "Why is there they're blurring out the dicks or something? I don't know."
Hey, Yugi, they're blurring out the dicks again.
We got it.
In the four kids one, he's just like, they're blurring out all the jelly donuts.
Yeah.
So Tia has a bikini scene and Yugi's basically drooling. Please click on the second image I sent to you guys.
Oh, God.
There's weird groping machine that attacks her, which...
Okay, yeah.
She seems kind of into it at first, which is also fucked up.
Yeah, well, that's probably why.
First, second, because you got to read it right to left, right?
Oh, that's true. I thought it was getting worse, but never mind. I thought it was getting like, oh, yeah, this is pervy, but she hates it. No, she hates it at first, and then it gets more pervy.
Which is worse.
Yeah, so for anybody who can't see this image, it's like this khaki green wall with like a bunch of like Looney Tunes gloves on springs poking out of it. And it's like grabbing her tits and touching her face and poking her in the neck. And then she starts to, she seems to get into it.
And in the third panel, she's very Yugi in parentheses, the big O.
Yeah. Well, also there is like, if you've ever seen an electric chair in like a cartoon where they've just got like the kind of like Viking style helmet on like a coil.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's also wearing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So this kind of stuff happens. It dies down like the longer you read the books, but especially at the beginning where Tia's like the only girl in the entire of that you meet.
Well, you gotta perv on her, obviously, because who else are you gonna perv on?
Yeah, that's
gotta perv on someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dems the brakes, sorry.
It's all a bit much, doesn't really need to be there to tell the story, but that stuff happens, I guess. I wouldn't draw it that way. Don't give
How
me
would
a medal.
You draw the perv machine, Jamie.
Violence much more prevalent. There's bloody fist fights, stabbings, guns, serial killers, chainsaws, knives. Like I said, villains beat the crap out of Yugi. Like in the first few, he gets like beaten up basically every chapter, and you just get to see like fists going into a child's face, like.
This is for looking at my girl. Yeah, and this is for being possessed by the 8,000-year-old ghost of an ancient Egyptian who cursed me to feel pain for the rest of eternity.
Yeah. Around volume 8, this is where things start to line up with what we know. The card game is where it. I think volume 8 is where he fights Kaiba for the first time. Yu-Gi-Oh storylines, like they start to line up. They're not exactly the same, but. They're a lot closer.
Okay.
You can buy these books in English. They're called Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist. They're a lot like the show, but a bit edgier. Do you guys remember Pegasus? Do you remember him from the show at all? Did I tell you about him?
Vaguely. Does he have like a pyramid on his head?
He's got an eye. He's got the Millennium Eye. So he has like long gray hair, and it usually covers one of his eyes. And then every once in a while it moves, and he's got like basically a golden eye in there.
Yeah, he has to stand still to look up or down.
Yeah, exactly. So one of like Pegasus' henchmen cheats in a duel, named Bandit Keith, and Pegasus turns the henchman's finger. Oh, this is the next picture. Turns the henchman's finger into a gun, and then makes the guy kill himself. So
rad.
It still is a bit more intense in the manga.
Bandit Keith is a great name for a guy who wears a leather studded vest and a U.S. flag bandana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this guy's in the show, but he could be any generic American in an anime also, you know?
True. We're in show territory now, so it does make sense. I haven't got to him yet by episode, the end of episode 9, but I'm pretty sure he's there, like, once you get into Pegasus Castle. I remember there's one time where he's like, this guy tells a lie and this guy tells the truth, and you have to figure out the... They do that whole riddle.
Classic knights and knaves, dude.
Yeah.
Classic.
And there's like a series, it's like Elite Four, I think. Like, there's a series of things you have to get before you get to Pegasus. One of them's the lie and the truth. One of them's the Band of Keith. But this is all like, now I'm going into memory from when I was a kid. I don't actually, I haven't watched it since, but yeah. Yeah, so this kind of stuff doesn't really happen in the TV show because it's marketed for kids age 7 and up. So you don't have like forced suicide.
Okay, yeah, there's fewer Russian roulette scenes, basically.
Yeah. I think in the English anime, there's points where there are a gun in the Japanese version, and they just change it to a finger gun, so people are like,
awesome. Yeah. At least they did that for E.T., and they replaced, like, the government guys, like the G-Men, are just holding walkie-talkies for some reason. Yeah. They took the guns out of one of the versions of E.T.
Yeah, South Park spoofed it, I think. Where they redid all classic films where like every gun in every film was replaced with just a walkie-talkie, so it just made sense basically. We talked about it in the Pokemon episodes, but there is the Pokemon episode where Ash goes to Safari Zone for the first time,
right,
was just never released outside of Japan because the park ranger holds a gun to Ash's head, like holds a revolver.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So then the episode after that, which was released elsewhere, Ash just inexplicably has 30 Tauros.
Yes.
It's just never explained where he got the Tauros. Like, you've never seen one before, but he just suddenly has 30 of them, and he got them in Safari Zone.
In the Japanese version, there's also a part where Jesse and James both have giant boobs and cleavage. And
yeah. They enter, like, a bikini contest, and James has, like, big ol' sweater puppies.
Yeah. Yeah. I only know that because people have put that picture in the server and tagged me as it, I'm pretty sure. But
I'm doing that right now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, so volumes 1 to 7, bunch of different games, kind of darker. There's, like I said, there's even games designed by Kazuki Takanashi in each of the books. So, like, I took a screenshot from the YouTube video that I was watching, and I put it into the Discord. So that's the last photo. It's really cool. He, like, puts sets of rules. He gives you monsters. On the next page, there's, like, a grid where you could, like, actually put the monsters and everything. A really cool addition to just a manga.
Yeah, that's sick. That's cooler to me than the manga would have been itself, I think.
So why is there a switch from all these games to just now you just stick from volume 8 till like 100 or whatever, however many there are, card game, just one single card game?
Did he have rent to pay? Because that would be my guess.
Originally, he only wanted to do two episodes or two novel or two, what do you call them?
Seasons?
Season. Two, like in book form, you only want to do two books, two volumes.
Volume.
Yeah.
About the card game with Yugi and Kaiba, but Shonen Jump started to get like a ton of calls from fans asking about the card game and how they could play it. That Kaiba really took off. Since there was so much interest in young folks in the card game, Kazuki picked his lane and stuck with it. And he also had some skin in the game too, because he really loves games, especially role-playing, tabletop. He loves that he thinks it takes it to the next level when you can be in the same room and look someone in the eyes and be present with them while you play a game.
And turn their hand into a gun and force them to kill.
Yeah. Kids then, as they are now, still are really focused on video games. When he saw such interest for a card game, he knew he had something. So he focused on the card game with the idea, sure, he probably was going to make a lot of money, but also he liked the idea that kids would be sitting across the table from each other playing a game rather than looking at a screen.
He did. Okay. He did it for the youth.
Yep.
As that guy in the American flag bandana would say.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Has since become one of the highest grossing media franchises of all time. It's in like the top 20 when you go onto Wiki of highest growing media franchises of all time.
And is Pokemon number one?
Pokemon is number one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it has a total estimated revenue of, do you guys want to give it a guess?
$420 billion.
17.1. Still a lot. USD. Not too shabby. Takahashi.
I don't know what the conversion is, but that might be 420 billion.
That might be 420. I was just thinking that, yeah. 17.1 USD converted to JP. No, it's more. It's 2.347 trillion.
Jesus.
Whoa.
I mean, got it. It's still $17.1 billion. Like, it's the same amount of money. You guys know that, right?
It's a bigger number.
I know, but
didn't expect but
the zeros. Yeah. I'll give you $1 or 1,000 yen. 1,000 yen.
You end up losing money because you have to convert it back.
Yeah. Yeah. 30% on the conversion on the merger.
So yeah, although he did switch the card game for the rest of the series, the final showdown in the mangas with Pegasus is a tabletop RPG game similar to D&D. So Takahashi got to put his favorite game in for the finale, stay true to his roots. So rest in peace, Kazuki Takahashi. Your writing and art influenced the whole generation. Yu-Gi-Oh! The anime is still fun to watch today. Definitely influenced me. I watched a lot of his stuff. And
Rest in Power as our second anime episode, or second true anime episode, maybe?
We did Alita.
So third. Because I did Doro Head to Doro.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was a good one. This was memeier than the last two, I think.
I didn't know it had such dark. The thing that set me off, I saw a TikTok of like, there's a girl on one side who says like, POV, I'm on a date with you, and she's just like kind of quietly listening. Yeah, but like,
I do like that one.
Yeah, slowly becoming more uncomfortable, and it's a guy in his room just explaining, well, actually Yu-Gi-Oh used to have a darker origins. And he goes through basically all of what I said today while this girl gets more uncomfortable on a date.
The girl eventually says, I gotta go.
That's fucking great.
So, that was our Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode. Saucy, I hope you enjoyed it. It wasn't Vampire Hunter D or whatever you're asking for, but hopefully it'll hold you over.
Somebody else.
2.5 years.
Well, we have two people who asked for Vampire Hunter D. I will do it as soon as I'm done writing the Green Lantern script, I promise. So, do keep an eye out for it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thanks so much, Jamie. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. You know what? Wow. Forget the listeners. Forget the patrons, dude. You were a great episode. Okay? Thank you.
You never say that. That means so much.
Yeah, and now your ironic punishment is I was gonna be like, you're never allowed to log off of Discord, and then I was like, damn, that's just like reality in 2022, huh?
Yeah.
So I guess it's like you can never log on to Discord again. So this was Jamie's last episode, everybody. Uh-oh. Give him a big round of applause.
Going to Shadow Realm in real life right now too. The sun went down. I'm in the Shadow Realm.
He's straight up in the Shadow Realm. I will take a picture for the channel. Old scary Jim. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help the show, you can do so by leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice. A good one, obviously. Doesn't help the show if you leave us a bad review.
No.
or you can just tell your friends, your family, your loved ones, your pet snail, your waifu body pillow. Tell whoever you want about the Lore Boys. And
if you're in Florida and you're dealing with that invasive snail problem, tell them.
Yeah, exactly. That one town in Florida that has African giant snails or whatever, you want to tell an African giant snail. Go nuts. Yeah. Peter, what's going on in the Instagram world and the Squared Idea world?
Well, things have calmed down, but obviously now, we filled out the application yesterday at time of recording for next year's Comic-Con. So if that gets approved, it's going to be July 13th and 14th, 2023. So I'm continuing to work. A lot of my colleagues over at Squared Idea have stuff coming out soon or stuff that is out already. So please go to squaredidea.com and check out what is currently available. It was really cool to see people come up to the table who already had like Chris and Mike's comics, and they're just like, "Yo, when's the second one out?" I'm like, "I want that to be me." Like, that's fucking neat.
There were some people who are getting straight up mad that the second one wasn't out yet, and as Mike explained it, it's really expensive to print individual volumes, so they're just making compilations, or like, they're just making compendiums at this point.
Yeah.
Because $1,500 for the one volume run, and it's like, whatever, $2,000 or $2,500 to put like 8 of them together, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But there is some cool stuff coming out from Squared Idea for sure. I think it's fair that we give them a plug since they share their table with us at Comic-Con, so check out squared-idea.com. For all those cool ass comics there that you guys can figure out where you can get them.
Yeah, never forget that it's not just me who works with those guys. And like, there's a bunch of cool shit out and coming that is totally worth paying attention to as well. Even if like, if you're invested in my bizarre idea, there are other equally bizarre things that you might find interesting as well that are like ready now, whereas like, I'm still working, man.
Yeah.
But
working hard.
Yeah, and it's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. That's the window into the art. So
yeah, you can see all the in progress art. You can see our QR code that you'll never be able to scan because it's on your phone. All sorts of fun things like that.
Ironic punishment was that game for? If you lose the Scorpion game, do you get a screenshot of a QR?
I need to check this one later, dude. But I'm pretty sure modern phones, like when you look at a QR code on your screen, it recognizes the QR code and asks you if you want to go to the website.
You do have a Google Pixel, so that might be true for you.
Yeah.
I have a OnePlus, which is a great phone, but pretty off-brand. So it doesn't
My iPhone can read text from photos. So like, if you're looking at like a real estate photo, you can call the phone number from a picture of the sign, which is cool.
Yeah, cool. And also creepy.
Yeah, my Google Pixel knows when I'm out of toilet paper. It's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah.
Jamie can smell too, like
Jamie, is there anything you wanted to plug and or shill?
No, just hang out in the Discord. I play games, like I played some Fall Guys with Hondolo. I put my creds up in there, so you guys can even add me and play stuff with me, and who knows, buy me a Steam game, but no
or two.
Just come into the Discord. That's where everything's happening, and that's where you'll get to see me more.
Yeah, join the Discord. There is a link in the description of this episode if you guys are interested. And if you guys are interested in supporting the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can get a shout out at the top of this show. Admittedly, a little late because I forgot to pull up James's name before we started this episode. but we'll get it to you eventually for sure. There's a couple other perks like 27 minutes of bonus audio this week. You'll get the script of this episode as Jamie wrote it with all the visual cues that we were kind of referencing during the show. And the looser titles, you know, some of the great hits that we wrote down this episode, like Architect Theology, one that I wrote down. So not going to be the winner title for this week's episode. Let me tell you. So go to patreon.com/theloreboys if you guys are interested in that, in supporting the show. And of course, if you guys aren't interested in supporting the show, with money, but are instead interested in supporting the show with ironic acts of benevolence towards us, ironic acts of servitude, one might say, towards us. We are building. So Jamie left us with a little puzzle during the break. I'm starting to think that it's a pyramid. Okay. What I didn't let you guys know during the break is that it does seem to be full size. So we are going to need some people to help us roll these massive puzzle blocks along several hundred logs of wood towards their final destination, which will be the location of the next BoyCon in the Midwest somewhere. We're thinking South Dakota. So South Dakota, you're on notice.
They could really use a pyramid there.
We're putting it right in front of Mount Rushmore. So it's going to block Mount Rushmore. I think that's South Dakota. We're going to put it right in front of Mount Rushmore, and we're going to have the next Boys Con atop the pyramid, where we're going to do some fun stuff. You know, just fun, ironic stuff up there on the pyramid. So don't even worry about it. It's going to be a lot of games, if you know what I'm saying. There's going to be a lot of games at Boy Con. So make sure to sign up to volunteer your back, you know. your ability to stand straight. Get ready to donate that to
as soon as we assemble it all together, it just lights us all on fire. Like,
all
one
except
pots will be provided.
Yeah, all except for one lucky listener whose hand is gonna turn into a gun with a lighter on it or something. I think that would constitute a lore boys. At some point, he just started yelling, "Peter, you suck," and I was so there for it.
I know.
He just kept saying, "Peter sucks, dude." I was so on board with that. Like,
he always negs me because he I mean, he's Swedish. He just likes to get fucked up. And sometimes when I'm just like, "Nah, I should go home," like on the rare occasions I do, he's always just like, "Fuck you, you fucking bitch." I'm like, "All right, well, I guess I'll stay."
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.